This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 10th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at the first steps toward a possible legislative session in Illinois on the future of electric rates. Also, we'll get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Solem. First, a look at today's news. Governor Rod Blagojevich and Republican challenger Judy Bar Topinka will meet today before the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune. It could be the last time the two face off. They disagree on when and where to hold debates. Yesterday, they accused each other of trying to weasel out of meeting. On Friday, Blagojevich said he would agree to two debates in southern Illinois and on a Chicago radio station. Yesterday, Topinka's campaign proposed a compromise. She would debate either on Chicago's WVON radio or on a TV station in southern Illinois, but only if Blagojevich agreed to a debate of her choosing on October 30th or 31st. Later, the governor's campaign said Topinka had failed to meet a 10 a.m. deadline and assumed that Topinka no longer wants to debate. Urbana City Council members generally favor Mayor Laurel Pressing's proposal to lower the city's property tax rate to match a cut endorsed by their Champaign counterparts. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
In an informal poll of Urbana Council members last night, 5 out of the 7 say they're at least inclined to favor a city property tax cut to match Champaign's. Due to rising property assessments, the cut would not lower the average city tax bill next year, but it would limit the average increase to no more than the inflation rate, about 3.3% in Urbana. Ward 7 Alderwoman Lynn Barnes says Urbana homeowners have made their feelings clear.
That the expected increases that they're facing are very significant in their eyes and also have been significant from a historical perspective. I think, frankly, lowering the tax rate to match Champaign is probably the least that we can do.
Council members Robert Lewis and Heather Stevenson are withholding judgment on the tax cut proposal. They want to know if city operations can afford the loss of revenue the tax cut would produce, estimated at $125,000 by Comptroller Ron Eldridge. Several council members who support the tax cut say that's something they also need to know before they take final action. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Republican incumbent in the 15th District Congressional race is touting his independence from the party, including votes in the areas of rights for detainees. Tim Johnson faces competition in November from Democrat David Gill. In an appearance yesterday on WILL's Focus 580 program, Johnson said he disagreed with the Bush administration's initial interpretation of rules involving the treatment of detainees at Guantanamo, and he called a compromise with key Senate Republicans reasonable. But Johnson also says Congress's role in setting policy isn't finished.
There's tremendous potential in this administration and otherwise for an imbalance between the three branches of government. And I believe that in a good many cases that the administration has gone too far in terms of its quote-unquote authority. And I think the Congress needs to assert itself.
Johnson says Congress needs to stand by and head off any potential abuse by the executive branch by being more specific on activities that can or cannot be conducted. Today is the last day to register to vote for the November 7th general election in both Illinois and Indiana. Many voter registration offices are extending their hours today. Both major political parties have been conducting voter registration drives. You can check the status of your registration or find out where to vote at county clerks' websites in Champaign or Vermilion counties, and Hoosier voters can check their status at indianavoters.com. A 30-year-old man is in custody in connection with the armed robbery of a central Illinois bank last weekend. Sheriff's Police in Champaign County say the Gibson City man was arrested Sunday after they received a tip from a concerned citizen. The man's not being named yet because he hasn't been formally charged. The Dewey State Bank in Dewey was robbed Saturday morning by an armed man who drove away in a maroon truck with an undisclosed amount of money. Authorities say they've recovered money, a weapon, and a truck fitting the description of the assailants. Officials say investigators will continue to interview the suspect in custody today. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In the past 10 years, the U.S. Department of Labor figures the cost of bread has gone up nearly 30%. Americans pay nearly twice as much now than then for health care. And, of course, we all know about the rise in gasoline prices. But for the last decade, the price of electricity has stayed the same in Illinois. That state-mandated freeze is set to expire in January, and the two companies who provide power to most Illinois residents are ready to charge more for it. That's enough to spark the interest of politicians, fearful that skyrocketing bills will jolt voters just as November's election draws near. That was clear yesterday as lawmakers discussed blocking the rate hike at a hearing in Springfield. Amanda Vinicky was there and has this report.
Politicians typically spend Columbus Day waving and shaking hands at parades. This year, Canton State Representative Mike Smith skipped those festivities and instead spent his holiday first at a press conference, then at a six-hour-long hearing on electricity deregulation. It's a complex issue, but for most voters, it translates into something simple: higher electric bills. And the political fallout of that resonates with Smith.
You know, I haven't seen anything generate this type of public sentiment in my district in the 12 years I've been in the House.
For a candidate like Smith, who's locked in a tight race for re-election, fighting rate increases is a politically savvy move. But the Democrat denies that the issue is merely one of political cover.
I'm doing the job I was elected to do, to represent my constituents.
The measure to continue freezing rates did receive some bipartisan support, passing the House committee with a couple of GOP votes. But Republicans like Ron Stevens of Troy are suspicious the hay over the hikes is an election season ploy by Democrats.
I believe that we're here today for one reason. 4 weeks from tomorrow, there's an election. I believe that this meeting and everything associated with it is all about politics.
Stevens may have reason to lay that claim, for while the issue is coming to the forefront during campaign season, it has been long in coming. Go back to 1997. At the time, Illinois residents were paying more for electricity than nearly anywhere else in the country, and there was little they could do about it. The state legislature thought that prices would drop if the market was more competitive. So the General Assembly passed a law requiring utilities to drop, then freeze, how much they charged customers for power. Consumer advocates, like the head of the Citizens Utility Board, David Collada, argue that plan didn't work, though. He says Commonwealth Edison has a monopoly in the northern part of Illinois, and Ameren's the only choice downstate.
Nothing has changed. Residential and small business customers are still stuck with ComEd and Ameren, whether we like it or not. We have no competitive options whatsoever.
Collada's pushing for the legislature to extend the rate freeze instead of letting it expire at the end of the year. He says cash-strapped consumers can't afford higher electric bills. And he says ComEd and Ameren can afford the freeze, as both have record-high profits. But the companies are ready to start charging their customers more, 20 to 50% more, depending on where you live. Ameren says its average customer pays over $700 a year. With a dollar a day increase, they'll end up paying well over $1,000 annually for power. President Scott Sissel says the state must allow his company to increase rates. If not, Sissel says, Ameren will have to make huge cutbacks to keep customers' lights on.
A reduction of workforce by over 700 employees, or 25% of our employees, would be let go. Reliability projects, such as tree trimming, would stop. Connections for new homes and businesses would be delayed for months.
And even then, he threatens, Ameren customers will face brownouts. The CEO of ComEd, Frank Clark, also says a freeze will shatter reliability of electric service. Clark says if the General Assembly passes a law, or if the state wins a lawsuit the Attorney General filed to stop the hikes, ComEd will go bankrupt.
I will say to all the legislators here, this is a very, very serious thing that you're embarking on. And it goes beyond whatever transpires in the first week of November.
I always use a grain of salt when I hear anything out of Commonwealth Edison.
That's House Speaker Mike Madigan. Now that the measure to extend the rate freeze was approved by the House committee, Madigan wants all lawmakers to come to Springfield for a special session to vote on it. Madigan could do that if the Senate president jointly agreed to it, but fellow Democrat Emil Jones has been noncommittal. While Jones denies it has anything to do with his stance, Jones has taken hefty political contributions from ComEd and is seen as its ally. Plus, few Democratic senators are in tight races, so the political score is not as needed. So Madigan's calling on Governor Rod Blagojevich to use his authority and call a special session.
It's a matter of great urgency for the ratepayers, the consumers of the state of Illinois. The time is now. Let's do it now. I think the votes are there.
A spokesperson for Blagojevich says the governor also wants a rate freeze and that his office is continuing efforts to secure support for it. Blagojevich says once enough votes are drummed up, he'll call lawmakers to Springfield. But Blagojevich could wait until after the November 7th election to do it. Some consumer watchdog groups fear that will mean lights out for a rate freeze. By that time, the political motivation that made Representative Mike Smith and other incumbents in jeopardy of losing their seats forego Columbus Day parades will have waned. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
While we await a spell of cold weather, we'll have a fairly pleasant day today, although some showers and thunderstorms will be moving into western Illinois later today, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers and maybe a few thunderstorms in that area of western Illinois, and highs ranging from 58 in northwest Illinois to 78 in the far south. Our weather forecaster Mike Sola says tonight it'll be cloudy all across the two-state area, with showers and scattered thunderstorms moving from west to east and increasing in coverage. The lows ranging from 47 in northern Illinois to 58 in southeast Indiana. For tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, and turning colder with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms most numerous in the morning, and highs ranging from 52 in northern Illinois to 72 in far southern Illinois. Colder on Thursday with mostly cloudy skies and wind, and maybe even some morning snow showers in the north and central sections on Thursday, scattered showers of snow or mixed rain and snow during the morning, scattered rain showers on Thursday in the south, and highs Thursday mostly in the 40s with some 50s in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 10th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.